I love my family and I love this land. But tonight this flight's for another man. We do what we do cause we heard the call. Some gave a little, but he gave it all. I fly that plane, call the angel flight. Come on, brother.
On September 17, 2008, a C-47 Chinook helicopter from the Texas National Guard General Support Aviation Battalion, call sign Red River 44, took off from Kuwait as part of a four-ship flight en route to Balad, Iraq. Shortly after midnight on September 18th, the helicopter went down in bad weather, killing all seven crew members aboard, four Texans and three from Oklahoma. It was the worst one day of loss of life for the Texas National Guard since World War II. Aboard were First Lieutenant Robert Viejo, 28 years old. He was survived by a wife. Chief Warrant Officer Corey Edwards, 38 years old, survived by a wife and two sons. Sergeant Anthony Mason, 37, from Springtown, Texas, survived by a wife and three daughters. First Sergeant Julio Ordonez, 54, San Antonio, Texas, survived by a wife, two sons, and two daughters. Chief Warrant Officer Bradley Rudolph, 37, Oklahoma City, survived by a wife and three sons. Sergeant Daniel Espa, 43, Norman, Oklahoma, survived by a wife, one son, one daughter. And Corporal Michael Thompson, 23 years old, from Hare, Oklahoma. Now, I believe that very often some good can come even from tragedy. In this case, it was a song and a unique program that helps veterans deal with some of the issues they experience in war. Let me give you a few more names. Major Brad Freeman, Major Mike Pullen, First Lieutenant Chris Armstrong, Senior Master Sergeant David Brewster, Master Sergeant Jim Moser. That was the crew of the C-130 from the 136th Airlift Wing of the Texas Air National Guard that flew those seven soldiers from Red River for home. They piloted an Angel Flight. The song you just heard at the beginning of the show called Angel Flight was inspired by those events I just recounted, and I dare anyone to listen to that song and not get a lump in their throat. The man that performs that song is a Texas singer-songwriter who has had 13 songs ranked in the Country Western Top 40. He's been called the songwriter. Welcome back to American Warrior, Mr. Radney Foster.
Hey, Ben, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm glad. You know, I mentioned that sometimes good can come from bad. We tried to have you on the Memorial Day show. We were doing a remote broadcast. We had some communication issues. So I'm very pleased that you decided to come back and spend some time with us.
Happy to do it.
And I'll tell you, Bradney, one of the reasons I'm very excited about that is in prepping for a longer show, I was introduced to this new program that you and Darden started, and I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited for our listeners to hear about it. But let's start a little bit with you, Radney. You're Texas born and bred, huh?
Yes, sir. Four generations.
Now, your father was, listen, I've heard of singing cowboys, but never a guitar strumming lawyer.
Well, I had one for a dad. On any given Saturday night, you know, somebody brought the potato salad, somebody brought the barbecue, and somebody brought the beer, and everybody brought an instrument. And they were my favorite nights as a kid. I would chase fireflies with my brother and sister and all the other kids who, you know, got brought over to the house. And my dad and his buddies would, you know, sing songs. And they didn't care if it was, you know, Frank Sinatra or Elvis or Hank Sr. or Patsy Cline. If it had three or four chords and they could figure it out, they'd sing it.
Did you begin playing early then, young?
I did. I started playing when I was about 10, 11 years old. I picked up my father's guitar, and daddy wasn't very good. he'd be the first to tell you, although he was a really good singer and just not much of a player, but he loved it, you know, and so he taught me a few chords and some of the things that he knew, and then I kind of took the ball and ran with it from there. There was always some group of musicians hanging out at our house, it seemed like, young guys who just liked that guitar pulls they had on Saturday nights. And my mom and dad were very, very active in the youth group in our church. And so there was a lot of youth group meetings at our house and that kind of stuff. And everybody always brought an instrument and who could play one. And so I was always, you know, bugging the older boys to teach me how to play and, you know, different stuff. And I guess about the time I was in, I always thought about the time I was in high school, I started writing songs. My mother disabused me of that idea by showing me something that she had kept of a song I wrote in Sunday school when I was 7 years old, which I had no memory of whatsoever, but she kept it all those years. And so that's pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool.
And that she was using that to try and convince you not to pursue a songwriting
probably
career?
At that point, I don't think she ever thought that I would pursue it. I just think it was a keepsake at the time. But then when it worked out, you know, she never threw it out.
Well, boy, so, it sure did work out. You moved on to Nashville.
I did.
You and Bill Lloyd, you recorded 3 albums. You had 9 singles on the country charts. I'd consider that pretty successful, and that's even just before you even went solo.
That's true. And in addition to that, you know, we wrote a lot of songs for other people, and I've continued that practice. I know you're talking about the 13. That doesn't count all the ones that I've written for, everybody from Sweethearts of the Rodeo, starting out to Keith Urban, and Luke Bryan last year cut a song of mine. So, well, I mean, it.
Yeah, Radney, you know, edumacate me here because I'm just a
yes, sir.
A poor Southern boy from way south, like Equator South. You, I mean, I called you you've been called the songwriter, and it looks like other country stars sort of mine your work to find songs to record. I'm assuming you still get paid?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I get paid. Not as much these days because of Spotify and a lot of the electronic changes that are going on in the world, but I won't bore your audience with that right now. That's a whole nother subject for a whole nother day.
Okay.
Well, but I do get paid. I get paid when they get played on the radio. You know, I get, that's kind of cool. To me, it's just cool that I get to hear them on the radio at all. It's a young man's game, and I'm just glad that I still get to play it. You know?
Well, and it's interesting. Later on in the show, I'd like to talk a little bit about, because I notice as I follow your career, I mean, you know the industry, I don't, but the maturity and the progression as you have gone through your career with not just the change in your music, but sort of the things you're doing, like this work with the group that we're going to talk about coming up. I just think it's very impressive. It's very solid. It's steady.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Well, I try to treat what I do with a great deal of respect. I really do think it's an art form, and you ought to treat it that way. And also, I think if you're not giving back in some way, you don't sleep very well at night. And I like to sleep well at night, so I've always looked for ways that I can give back.
Fair enough. Now, Radney, I've been doing, you know, supporting our military for years. I never had to serve, so I support those that do. And one thing I've learned over the years is that everybody can do something. In your case, you are an expert at taking moments and feelings and converting them to poetry and then putting them into song. And so when we come back, I'd like to talk about that song folks heard when we opened the program, Angel Flight, and how that came to be. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined live by Radney Foster, country music singer, songwriter, just a great, great gentleman. Stick around, folks. We will be taking calls later on, 751-1041. We'll be right back.
Just call me lonesome, heartbroken and some.
Radney Foster, have you heard that song before?
A couple times.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Very pleased to have Radney Foster on the line with us live. We're talking about we talked a little bit about his career, but mostly we want to talk about a move that he made in conjunction with a friend of his, Darden Smith, that has led to just an amazing program. And so, Radney, let me take it from here. That song, Angel Flight, honestly, I've been prepping for the show, and it's just a beautiful song. I cannot listen to it without getting choked up, maybe getting a tear in my eye. How did the song Angel Flight come to be?
Well, it really started with Darden, who, you know, lives in Austin, Texas. And he had met with a couple of guys from the Texas National Guard, just by happenstance, and kind of asked, you know, what can we do to help you guys? And the general he was speaking with, who's commander of the Texas National Guard at the time, said, tell our story. You guys are storytellers. Nobody's telling our story. And he said, we just had an angel flight for seven men that we lost in Iraq. And, you know, Darden went, angel flight? What's an angel flight?
Uh-huh.
Of course, they told him what one was. That is where, what the military call the flights to bring home their fallen brethren and to their final resting place and to their families, and how sacred they hold that duty. And so Darden was almost immediately after that at my house, and he said, hey, I want to write this song for these guys. And he kind of had a little bit of it started, and he said, would you finish it with me? And I said, absolutely. And the moment we got through, I knew I wanted to record it and put it on my next album. I was in the middle of making a record, and it was very, very obvious that it needed to go on it, and it was really a good part of the theme of the record, the album as a whole. I don't think either one of us had any idea how big of an impact it was going to have on other military lives and then our own lives as well. The proceeds from that track go to the Family Support Foundation, that is the, you know, the support arm for the Texas National Guard, for families that are in crisis, or who, you know, somebody comes home wounded, or, you know, someone's overseas, kind of all of the things that happen to guard units, in the same way that they do within the, you know, active military, the other active military units. And so I know you mentioned all those guys' names. I was there when they dedicated the memorial and sang Angel Flight in front of those families, and that's probably the hardest day, hardest time I ever had singing that song.
Well, now, you've, Rodney, you've been performing for, gosh, what quarter century or more, right?
Oh, yeah, so, 30 years, really.
So you don't, I don't know, but I'm guessing that you've handled stage fright pretty well.
Yeah, but, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Not a problem.
I don't get flustered these days.
Yeah, but that was, I recall from our last conversation, you said that was one of the most difficult performances you've ever had.
Yeah, the biggest thing was to look at the sons and daughters of those brave, brave gentlemen and their widows and their family members, and to, you know, and I had kids, those kids' age, you know. And the thing you learn about guard units is, you know, these guys all live in the same neighborhoods. They all live, you know, they all coach T-ball together. They all do the kind of things that everybody else does. That's where you find your friends, is at work, you know, especially within the military, because, you know, you have you're cut from similar cloth. Mm-hmm. You've got a similar outlook on life, you know. So it was really tough. And I, you know, I've always known in my head, you know, the kind of sacrifice, you know, that I lost family members in Vietnam. I've lost, you know, all kinds of family members to war who served. But I don't think it really hit me till it really hit me that day, and I'll never be the same. I mean, to have to—it was really put a fine point on, you know.
Well, and I think that's why that's why I'm grateful that folks like yourself and Darden and some of the other professionals that are helping out with this songwriting project are involved in it, because you're right. I volunteer with the group with the employee support of the Guard and Reserve, and even people who are aware of the military often overlook the citizen soldiers. And you know, you put your finger right on it. I mean, this might be the mechanic that's fixing your car one day, and you know, 3 days later is in Afghanistan somewhere. And the
Correct.
Particular challenges that those put on the families of the citizen soldiers. Now, Rodney, correct me if I'm wrong, but at that particular memorial service, the general presented a flag to the son of one of the fallen soldiers who was, I think, the same age as your son at the time, correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
And that was not lost on you, I'm guessing.
No. Not at all. I travel a lot because of my business. I still do, I probably do 70, 80 gigs a year. As a matter of fact, I'm playing Phoenix in September, coming up here soon out near you guys. But I see those guys getting on planes and getting off of them all the time. It just really hit the dangers I face are the dangers that we face normally that are just the random dangers that happen to us all.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever, I don't strap on my guitar and my wife's going to wonder if I'm coming back or not, that's a pretty low risk deal.
Did you have, you already said you had no idea. I'm wondering, as Darden tells the story, y'all were in the studio and he was kind of stuck. You said in the middle of a verse, he asked you to help him and you guys completed it in about 30 minutes.
That's right.
Randy, do you ever sit down?
The studio is the little studio behind my house.
My house. People didn't need to know that.
Yeah.
Do you ever sit down and you just, and it flows? I mean, the words just come out, the notes come out, and at that very moment you're thinking, holy cow, dang, this is going to be good.
It does, and you live for those days. You write some songs. Come hard and you suffer over them and you work on them for, a week or more. I worked on one for 7 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
But there's those magic moments and those magic days when you have it and you can't write it down fast enough. It's as if the muse is sitting on your shoulder and you're taking dictation, you really can't get it down. And that was one of those magic nights like that.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm guessing you strike me as a pretty humble guy, so you may not agree with this, but that song Angel Flight has made you and Darden somewhat heroes in the military community, I'd say.
It has. I get thanked every night by somebody who served. Every single night I play. And I get emails about that song weekly, if not at times daily. Certainly around when it gets close to Memorial Day and it gets close to Veterans Day, we start getting lots of emails.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lost count of the number of men and women who've come up to me and had a challenge coin palmed in their hand, and came up and said, "I just want to in the autograph line," and said, "I just want to shake your hand." Of course, I feel that challenge coin right there. And one guy gave me had worked on C-130s his entire career. He was a senior master sergeant, and I think they called it a chief master sergeant. I'm not sure of the nomenclature. I think he'd gone about as far as an NCO can go.
Right. In the Air Force?
In the Air Force.
Yeah, he's a chief then, yeah.
Yeah, and he had handed me his 30 years of excellence medal. And I said, "I can't take that." And he said, I can't keep it. And he said, I worked on C-130s my whole life, and you'll never know how many angel flights I was involved in over how many conflicts, and they never got any easier. And you really captured that. And what you've done is spoken so much for me and so many others.
Okay. Radney, hold on. We're going to come back after the break. Folks, we've got him live on the phone. Feel free to give us a call, 751-1041. When we come back, Radney, I'd like to talk about songwriting with soldiers. And, folks, don't forget, he's too shy to mention it, September 1, Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back. If somebody's going to kick ass and take me, might as well be. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to American Warrior Radio. We've got Radney Foster on. The song you heard there is a song called Half Horse Town. And, Radney, we're going to get into that here in a little bit if I don't get kicked off the air.
because of my language in that song.
Well, those were her words, weren't they?
They sure were.
Okay. But coming back, Randy, I wanted you just to hear this because I know you get you say you get a lot of emails, but I found this and I thought you might appreciate it. It's written by a woman who calls herself Naughty, and she says K-N-O-T-T-I-E. Just when I think I've heard it all or seen, experienced it all, something will happen that brings it all back. It can be anything, but my reaction is always the same. My breath catches in my throat. My heart literally skips a beat and then aches and fight the tears back all night. Today it was a song on the radio. I'd reached over and hit the scan button on the car radio, and the song hit me, Angel Flight. I knew what those words meant. To me, those two words hold more meaning than most who have had the dial set to the same station. She talks about her son who was killed in action and the honor guard escort that brought him home. Just very, very powerful stuff. And that led to your collaborator, Darden, creating a group called Songwriting with Soldiers. And tell our listeners a little bit more about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, it was really Darden's idea, because, in essence, when we started writing Angel Flight, Darden had actually had a chance to talk to some of the guys. And we sat and talked about his conversations with them, because we wanted to get the thing right. And then he met a guy because of that and just said, you know, well, let's write a song together about your experiences. And that's what made it click in his mind, that writing songs with those returning vets could really be a point of catharsis for them. And the cool part about it is that it's not just that they're talking about their experiences. I think that they open up and talk about their experiences more readily because they know that you care and you're listening, and that they get hooked. Sometimes they're reticent at first, but they get hooked the moment you're sitting there talking and you sing back a first verse of what they've been telling you about for the last 15 minutes. And they look at you like you're some kind of shaman who does magic. And you go, nope, those are your words. All I'm doing is just, you know, helping you put them into something. They get so excited, and they get so excited because they're going to have something when they walk out of there that tells their story, that they can share with their families and their friends. It's so often so difficult for returning military personnel to talk about any of the stuff that's really at the bottom of what may bother them deeply. And this gives them that opportunity in a way to do it safely. And, you know, I always tell those guys that that song is like their pack. Every guy who's a current soldier knows exactly how heavy his pack is. They'll all tell you to the pound, you know, that there was supposed to be 54, but this guy's was 63 because he hit this extra, that extra, this. And I said, well, what is your favorite? What's the best feeling in the world when you get back to wherever you're sleeping? And they're like, oh, God, taking that pack off. I said, well, let that song be your pack, you know. You need to listen to it. You got to deal with stuff, and you can listen to the song. You can share it with your friends, with your family, with your buddies. You can, you know, your preacher, your counselor, whoever, your commanding officer, whoever it is that you need to share it with, and say, hey, this, you know, I'm going through this or that or the other, and it becomes this point of reference for them. And then when you're done, take all that stuff off.
Right.
You know?
Set it down.
And set it aside.
I tell you, folks, visit songwritingwithsoldiers.org. There's a video up there right now that features Radney and this combat veteran, Nikki, and kind of how they went through it. It's just really, it made me smile. It's very heartwarming, Radney, where she says, I'm from a half horse town, and I think it was Oregon. And you're like, wait, stop, right there. That's the song. And
that's
then
the title.
And then you all performed it, and it's just such a great situation. We do have a caller here. Shane is calling to chat with Radney Foster. Shane, what's your question or comment for Mr. Foster?
Great show, Ben and Mr. Foster. Foster, I just had a question. I've watched the video a million times, especially with the C-130 coming down and launching all the weapons at once, creating that effect. And I just wanted to know, you know, could you speak for yourself? Has working with the troops and especially doing Angel Flight, does it change at all or raise any thoughts or consciousness about, you know, not on the political side being politics, but just on a national side, being more careful about getting our troops involved in war or having more having more consideration about, you know, us immediately as a country jumping to use our troops and maybe we shouldn't?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, when we underfund the personnel in particular, you know, I know that there's times we need new widgets and we need new, you know, material. And, but really, if we're not taking care of the personnel, then I got a bone to pick with you. And number one. And number two is that, you know, it's a whole lot harder to want to, you know, put people in harm's way when you got skin in the game. And, I have family who are serving currently and, you know, I have a lot of friends because of this song who are new friends who have come home, and it definitely makes you think twice about when and where and how. And, you know, it's something I think we all need to think about much more often as a nation, because it is such a small amount. It's a small percentage of people who serve in our military.
Mm-hmm.
And, those of us who are not in the military really need to spread the word about that. I think, and the best thing you can do, if you really want to know how those guys feel, go do something good for one of the organizations that helps them, you know, get on a personal level, you know, hand to hand. You'll learn it real quick.
Great. Wonderful stuff. Shane, great call. Thank you so much. Folks, if you'd like to chat with Mr. Foster, give us a call. The lines are open, 751-1041. Rodney, coming back to, wow, it's almost like we scripted this interview, which we didn't. I want to be very clear about that. But you, the Songwriting with Soldiers retreats that you host, you've brought together, or Darden, both of you, have brought together a team of some of America's best songwriters. You got several Grammy Award winners combined. They've got hundreds of hits to their credit. And just walk us through what, how that works. I mean, do you bring the soldiers or the airmen and the Marines or the sailors out with their entire family and you just sit down and sort of just listen at first, or how walk us through one of those sessions?
It varies. One of the things is that, you know, we've done them for couples that, through a group that was all EOD guys, you know, which is tough duty. Not a single one of them was without physical wounds, not a single one. And, that, you know, was really awesome and interesting. But oftentimes they are from different walks of life. They are from different branches of the service. Usually we are at a retreat center that is near a military facility. I've done them in Long Beach, California at the VA hospital there. They have a great facility. There's a retreat center outside of Fort Hood in, Killeen, Texas. There is one up in the mountains, right outside of Washington, Virginia, right outside of Washington, hour outside of Washington D.C. We've done them at Bethesda. You know, there's retreat centers all over the country. Where, but usually they're near a military facility, and like I said, the men and women who come to them are from all different branches of the service. And sometimes they come alone, sometimes they come as a family, sometimes they, you know, it's a particular branch. But in each case, it's usually a weekend retreat. It starts on a Friday night. They kind of arrive, and the first thing we do is really just kind of, you know, tell them how the retreat's going to work a little bit and have a meal with them. And then after that meal, we write a song, all of us together, in about 30 minutes.
Wow.
And Darden usually leads that, or one of the other, whoever's in charge of that retreat. Whoever's the leader in charge of that retreat usually does that. And it kind of opens everybody's eyes really quickly about how the process works.
And folks right now can go to songwritingwithsoldiers.org, and some of the songs that you all have composed and performed are up there, and it's some powerful stuff. You know, Half Horse Town, with Nikki, that, I don't want to say it was a lighthearted song, but, there was another one that you did, Rodney, called Me Perdí, Espino, you got a great Spanish accent.
Well, thanks. I was raised, right on the Mexican border and in a bilingual home and in a bilingual community. So I do habla español, you know. I don't remember learning to speak Spanish. It was just spoken in my home. So there you go.
Well, I tell you what, I want to talk about how do we get one of these retreats out here in Tucson, Arizona. I know you said you're coming to Phoenix, folks. By the way, you can visit RadneyFoster.com. He is performing up in Phoenix on September 1st. Radney, if you come out here, we'll show you what real Mexican food is like. How's that?
That's fine with me. I tell you, the funny part is that, you know, that's so regional, man. It can get sticky.
It's a whole different experience. Folks, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're speaking with Radney Foster. He, among other things, he's the performer of just the haunting song, Angel Flight. We're talking about songwriting with soldiers. We'll be right back.
Tucson's News and Talk, 104.1 KQTH.
Welcome back to American Warrior, folks. Your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. You might recognize that voice because he's on the phone with us right now, Radney Foster. What? It's kind of shameless.
Just a little.
You still want to make some money off of record sales, don't you?
I do.
Okay.
Like it. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Still do. Yeah.
Radney, welcome back. We're talking with Radney Foster, the songwriter, he's been called. You can catch him September 1st right up the road in Phoenix, Arizona, 7:30 concert. You can find out more at RadneyFoster.com. Also visit SongwritingWithSoldiers.org. There you're going to hear and see some very poignant, very challenging lyrics and some beautiful songs as well. Randy, coming back to these retreats, I did see a reference to it wasn't just the soldiers or the service members themselves, but apparently there was also a situation where the wives at the retreat wrote a song called The War After the War.
Correct.
What was that like?
You know, I came in as a participant really after that. Darden got that song started and wanted me to, you know, come in and sort of help with that. But I've also, at some of those, one of the ones we did, you know, I wrote with a couple. I've actually had two opportunities to do that. That's been an amazing experience to hear his story about where he was and what was going on and where she was and what was going on in her life at that very same instant, half a world away. And, really, really moving experiences for me and super cool to hear their stories. And I still get the cool part is how often I get a note or a card or an email from one of the participants saying thank you and, you know, how much the song years later still means to them. It's always a huge plus for me.
Over the years doing this, how many songs has your group produced, would you say? I mean, we're talking hundreds or?
I would say, if you think about an average, retreat, you know, if there's 15 participants, each one of those is going to write at least one song. And so, you end up, and some of them more than one. So you end up with, you know, somewhere between 12 and 20 songs at the end of each one of those. And they do about, 5 or 6 a year.
Okay.
We'd like to do more, but part of it, you know, you can't just be, it's, you know, the songwriters who go in and do this really know what they're walking into. And they've really had to go through a little bit of training with Darden and a little bit of really, you know, figuring out that this is, you know, what to leave behind and what to bring with you as your skill sets are concerned. And you're going to need some time off afterwards. You know, you're going to need a couple of days to get to process what just happened.
Right. Tell me more. You said what to leave behind.
Well, I think you have to leave politics behind. Mm-hmm. I think you have to leave, not only that, I think you have to leave your preconceptions behind. And you got to realize this is not about writing a hit. It's not about getting it right more than ever before. You know, we always try to keep a kernel of the truth in a song, even if you're making it up, you know, because that's what people go, that's what makes people stop the car and want to pull the car over and, you know, call their mom or buy the song or, you know, say, wow, how did that guy get in my living room? How did he know how I felt? And you have to just sort of even lay aside anything other than that kernel of the truth. You're really being a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And you're helping them tell their story. It's not about you. It's about them.
Now, it's interesting. And, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and, you know, songwriters all have egos or you wouldn't think that anybody would ever want to hear your song. So you kind of leave that behind. You know, it's a different process. And it's cool. It's the neatest way I get to give back. It really is.
Well, it's interesting. I also saw an interview you did, Radney, where you said that you really believe now that God had been preparing you your whole life through a very public career to share some very private moments with these returning soldiers. If someone had told you this back when you were, you know, had your first big hit in Nashville, would you have thought they were nuts?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have believed it. It really, I don't think, you know, I don't think we live in a vacuum. I think God gives us talents for a reason. You know, I'm a person of faith and I really think that that's, you know, we're supposed to share it and we're supposed to do what we do for a reason. And we're supposed to really think that through. And, you know, I didn't know it at the time because I was too young to, you know, but I really do believe that this is, you know, definitely one of the reasons God put me on this planet and gave me the talent that he gave me. It's not just so I could, you know, earn a living and send my kids off to college, although I'm very happy that that's happening.
But I tell you what, Radney.
Yeah. I mean, it's like giving back in as many ways as I can as a part of it. You know?
I also don't believe there are coincidences. It's interesting, when I was preparing for the show several years ago, we interviewed Bob Woodruff. You know, and talking about his injuries and what led to the formation of his foundation. And that's one of your principal funders, as I understand it, for Songwriting with Soldiers. So there are no coincidences. We've got another call. Margot, is calling. She'd like to chat with Radney Foster. Margot, I tell you, come on the line. Hold a second. We might have just lost, as I'm looking at my big screen here, Oh, you're still there?
I'm here. This is Margot.
Okay, Margot. Well, hold on, because I think we lost Radney. There he is.
Oh.
Live radio. What can you do?
Oh.
Okay, so Radney, meet Margot. Margot, meet Radney.
Hey, Margot. How are you?
And Radney, we just lost Margot. Okay, Margot, give us a call back while we go ahead and talk with Radney. It's that remote broadcast all over again, Radney. Maybe I'll write some words you can put them to music for me about hosting a radio show. One of the things that I really, you know, earlier in the show, I referenced when you recorded the album Revival, which had the Angel Flight on it, you were going through. Okay, Margot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, something happened to my phone, but I'm still here, so.
Let's try it again. Modern technology. Margot, Radney. Radney, Margot.
Radney, Margot. Pleasure to meet you. I don't know that I have a question, but I have just a few comments because it's been just really heartwarming listening to you. I enjoy your music. And like you, I'm a believer in giving back. You know, my parents raised me also to live a life of purpose. And so I don't have a veteran background, but I try and give back and work with veterans whenever I can. I'm familiar with your Angel Flight song, which I still can't listen to without crying. It just speaks to so many. So to someone like you who uses all of your talents and your heart and gives back to so many, I have so much respect for you. And I really wanted to call because, as Ben said, boy, this Songwriters for Soldiers project, I enjoy writing, so I know how, just on a very small scale, how cathartic and how healing writing can be. And boy, if I can get together with Ben to bring you down here with this project, what an amazing idea to get people together to write about their experiences. I think that it's so, obviously, so very, very important. And, I mean, just for people to write out their feelings, and again, they're not going for awards and so forth, but you're giving them a chance to write out their feelings, to work out their feelings. You know, one of the things that I've discovered in my work with veterans is, well, it's a couple things, actually. Number one, you never know until you get in with veterans?
Margot, I tell you what, we're running out of time. I want to let Radney finish up. So thanks so much for your call.
Please come to town. Good luck in Phoenix. And thank you so much for everything. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Margot. Well, Radney, like I said, there you go. Another fan. We've got about a minute and a half left before the computer cuts us off to go to the news. What, as I mentioned, that when you wrote or you recorded Revival, there was a lot going on in your life, in your personal life at the time, and now you're helping other people work through those sorts of things. What are, you know, people give country music a hard time. You know, my dog died, the insurance guy came to repossess my truck.
Sure.
But you really are telling stories here. About 30 seconds, any last thoughts for our listeners, Reddy?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for me as a songwriter is the opportunity to tell the truth, is to really try to paint. You know, everybody talks about it, country music can be sad, but it can be happy too. And for me, I just love the fact that I can really be a storyteller. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to help tell so many veteran stories.
Well, sir, you are doing just a wonderful job, and please send our thanks and congratulations to Darden as well. Ladies and gentlemen, another great American Warrior show. You can find the podcast of this broadcast on AmericanWarriorRadio.com, Twitter, Stitcher, Player FM, iTunes. We're all over the place, and please don't miss it, and please share this story with your friends out there who need to hear these messages. Again, you can visit RadneyFoster.com or SongwritingWithSoldiers.org. This has been your host, Ben Bueller-Garcia. We'll see you next week.